Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NFL. On this edition of the program, we have an exclusive interview with Sonya Greenfield. She is the Director of Writer Management that covers the NFC North for Our Turf Football. Of course, we have her back on the program talking about her beloved Detroit Lions beating the LA Rams in the wild card playoff game, a part of Super Wild Card Weekend, and also we preview the Lions game in the divisional weekend against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've got Sonya on the show, and of course, we preview the divisional weekend playoff matchup, so stay tuned, sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. As always, I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with talking about the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are like Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong. And a lot of things went wrong for Dallas this past weekend in the Super Wild Card weekend. They didn't just get beat by the Green Bay Packers. They got manhandled by them on both ends of the ball, offense and defense. And we talk about Mike McCarthy. We talk about Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. And this year, that's a lot of Cowboy fans would say, this year is our year. This year is our year. This is our year. We're going to win our first Super Bowl since 1995. Well, this was supposed to be the year. Dallas put up solid numbers on the offensive side and the defensive side. Dak Prescott was talked about as a candidate in this year's MVP race. He had a lot going for him. The Cowboys had a lot going for them. After all, they play in the weak, in a very weak division, the NFC East. The NFC East, right? We know Philadelphia, despite their troubles, we're going to talk about them in just a little bit. Despite their troubles, they're still the cream of the crop in that division. Dallas, and then, of course, you've got the Giants that are going through growing pains, and Washington is a talented team. However, they're having their own growing pains as well. Long story short, this was supposed to be the year that Dallas was supposed to turn the tide and win a wild card game, maybe even win a divisional game, maybe play in the NFC championship game. Well, we were proved wrong yet again. Last weekend, they lost in the Super Wild Card weekend to the Green Bay Packers. And Jordan Love, give Jordan Love a lot of credit. Jordan handled himself with grace, poise in his first playoff game, showed tremendous confidence being the quarterback of the team. Aaron Jones was able to run the ball well. Green Bay's defense was able to intercept a couple of passes off of Dak Prescott. And Dallas just looked like a team that was just never in it. They just looked like a team that just, if you watch that game, I watched that game, and something about that energy was just off with the Cowboys. They just never seemed in sync. They never seemed together. And that was on both sides of the ball. Well, and as always, when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, I mentioned Dak, I mentioned CD, I mentioned also Micah Parsons, and I also mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence. We talked about the head coach, Mike McCarthy. Of course, you got to talk about the owner and the general manager of the team, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones has been unable to get out of his way for a very long time. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen anytime soon, because the news broke this week that Mike McCarthy will return for the 2024 NFL season. This is a shocker not only to me, but it's a shocker to a lot of football fans. It's a shocker to a lot of NFL fans as well. Everybody was saying, hey, Bill Belichick is out on the market. Maybe Jerry somehow, some way could have an interview Coach Belichick. It wasn't going to happen. Those two gentlemen are two complete polar opposites. If you studied Coach Belichick in his 24 seasons with the New England Patriots, he was really the king of the one-word, two-word, even maybe three-word answers or four-word answers, depending on what type of mood he was in, right? And a lot of his players, with the exception of Tom Brady, did not speak at a lot of the press conferences. So could you imagine Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones on the Dallas Cowboys? That would have not had worked. And so As a result of that, McCarthy will be returning for the 2024 season. I think the Cowboys should have tried to make a run, maybe go in-house, try to go for Dan Quinn. I know defensively they laid an egg in that wild card playoff game last week, but hey, Jerry should have done something, but I kind of knew this was going to happen. McCarthy was going to come back for at least one more year. This is the final year of his contract, and this is also the final year of Dak Prescott's contract. But, man, Mike McCarthy, his first year with the Dallas Cowboys was in 2020. They didn't make the playoffs. They finished with a record of 6-10. His second year with the team, they win the NFC East. They finished with a record of 12-5. Guess what? They wind up losing in the wild card playoff game to the San Francisco 49ers at Jerry World. Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback. Then 2022, the Cowboys finished second in the NFC East. They win the wild card playoff game, beating Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But guess what? They go to San Francisco, and again, they lose to the 49ers in the divisional playoff. By the way, 2022 was McCarthy's third season with the Cowboys. And then this past season, Mike McCarthy, fourth year with the team, they win the NFC East. They finish with a record of 12-5, and they lay an egg in the wild card game, losing to the Green Bay Packers. So three out of the four seasons that Mike McCarthy's been the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, they have gone to the playoffs. During his time, they've won two NFC East division titles, but they really don't have anything to show for it after that, losing the wild card playoff game in 2021 and 2023. Then in 2022, you win a wild card game, but you lose in the divisional round, so something's got to give. 2024 is going to be an interesting year for Mike McCarthy, for Dak Prescott, and the Dallas Cowboys. Do I think they're going to be better in 2024? I don't think they're going to be better in 2024. I don't think they're going to be worse in 2024. They're going to be right in the middle of things. And depending on what happens in the NFC East, we know Philadelphia is going to be on a mission. I'm going to get to the Eagles in just a moment. The Giants, they're going to be looking for their quarterback. The Commanders are going to be better. We'll see what happens, not only with the quarterback situation, but with the head coaching situation as well. Will Belichick be in Washington? We've been hearing talks this week about interviews that he had with Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see on that. But the Dallas Cowboys, man, as I stated before, they're like Murphy's Law. Can go wrong, will go wrong. And the Dallas Cowboys are the soap opera that never ends. Stay tuned. My next storyline is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. You talk about a fall from grace. After finishing the year 10-1, it seemed to me, and it seemed to a lot of football fans out there, that the Eagles were poised to possibly get back to the big game and try to play for the Lombardi. Well, not the case. So after they beat the Buffalo Bills on November the 26th, after Thanksgiving and overtime, it was just a downward spiral. December the 3rd, losing to the 49ers. December the 10th, losing to the Cowboys. December the 18th, losing to the Seattle Seahawks. On Christmas Day, they pulled off a tough one. It was a close game, beating the New York Giants. Then you lose on New Year's Eve to the Arizona Cardinals. And then the final week of the regular season, January the 7th, you lose to the Giants. So they finished the regular season 11-6. That was a fall from grace. Offensively, they fell out of sync. Defensively, they had no answers. You change defensive coordinators late in the year. You go from Sean Desai to Matt Patricia. Bad move. Bad move. And then you could see the effects of not only losing your former defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, who became the head coach with the Arizona Cardinals, but also you lose your offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, who is now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And you could see the effects of it. Brian Johnson, first year as the offensive coordinator. The offense just didn't flow well this year. And there's going to be a lot of answers as well at the head coaching position with Nick Sirianni. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles? Will Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, will they make the move and possibly court Bill Belichick? As I stated earlier, the Atlanta Falcons have had conversations with Belichick this week. Will the Eagles, will they court Bill Belichick if they decide to let Nick Sirianni go? It's a lot of questions right there at the head coaching position. And also there's questions about, there were reports according to ESPN's Adam Schefter that Jason Kelce announced his retirement at the end of the Eagles losing their wild card playoff game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, this was reported by, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, that Kelce addressed the team in a post-game interview at the end of the game in the locker room that he planned on to retire. Again, there's nothing official as of yet, but Jason recently said on the New Heights podcast with his brother Travis that when the time is right, he'll make the decision, whether it be possibly retiring or maybe even coming back for one more season. We don't know. But if he does retire, it's been one heck of a career. And Jason Kelce, you talk about a guy that's been consistent and a guy that's provided stability in a tough position, the center position on the offensive line, a position that's normally not heralded. It's a position that's normally not celebrated. But, hey, Jason Kelce, one of the best, not just at his position, but one of the best to play in the NFL, one of the best to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I tell you, if he does call it a career, he'll never have to worry about paying for a meal in the city of brotherly love ever again. But a lot of questions in Philly, a lot of questions in Dallas, a lot of questions in Philadelphia. And for my last storyline is going to be Antonio Pierce. Well, guess what? Of the Raiders finding their next head coach, guess what? That question's been answered. Antonio Pierce is the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So Josh McDaniels, who was the original head coach in the middle of the year, was fired on Halloween. Antonio Pierce, who was originally the linebackers coach, winds up becoming the interim head coach, finishes the rest of the 2023 season with a record of 5-4. And my goodness, Antonio, he lit it up. He lit it up for the Raiders. And certainly that was really a shot that they needed really badly. So McDaniels is fired on Halloween. Pierce becomes the interim head coach week 9. They beat both New York teams. They beat the Giants and they beat the Jets. They would lose their next 3 at Miami, Kansas City, and then the Minnesota Vikings. However, they would go on to beat the Los Angeles Chargers, and on Christmas Day, they would beat the Kansas City Chiefs. New Year's Eve, they would lose to the Indianapolis Colts. But on the final day of the regular season, they would beat the Denver Broncos. Listen, Antonio Pierce grew up in the Los Angeles area, was a diehard Raider fan when the franchise was in Los Angeles. And when you think about the Raiders, you think about Al Davis, and you think about the slogans, just win, baby. Commitment to excellence, the silver and black attack, you know, John Facenda in the NFL films, the autumn wind, a pirate, and things of that nature. And you think about the cast of characters that have played for that franchise. Antonio Pierce, I think, is going to do a good job as the head coach of the Raiders. If we look at some of the recent head coaches that the Raiders have had after John Gruden had his first stint with the organization. Let's go back to era for a moment. Bill Callahan, Norv Turner, Art Shell had a second run with the Raiders, Lane Kiffin, Tom Cable, Hugh Jackson, Dennis Allen, Tony Sparano was the interim in 2014. Then you had Jack Del Rio. Then you had John Gruden for a second stint. And then you had Rich Bisaccia, who was the interim head coach. And then, of course, we saw things didn't work out with Josh McDaniels. But Antonio Pierce is the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, congratulations to Antonio. Definitely deserving of it. And I think the Raiders, they hit a home run with this one. They're going to not only hit a home run with this, I think they could hit a couple of grand slams with Pierce being the head coach of the Raiders. They certainly played with a lot of intensity since he became the interim head coach, Davante Adams, before Josh McDaniels was fired. There were talks about him possibly leaving the franchise, him maybe going to New York, play alongside Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. We don't know how that's going to turn out, but they found themselves, the Raiders found themselves again. Davante Adams played with like his old self again, playing with that excitement and that zest again. Aiden O'Connell was decent. Josh Jacobs played well. The defense got better, especially Max Crosby. Man, Max Crosby, it tell you one thing, is one of the premier defensive linemen in the NFL. So the Raiders, again, Antonio Pierce becoming the interim head coach, it was a shot in the arm for them. And they hit a home run with this hire. And again, congratulations to Antonio Pierce. No longer the interim, he's now the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Sonia Greenfield. Sonia is a director of writer management covering the NFC North for Our Turf Football. On the program, we talk about the Lions winning in an important wild card playoff game over the Los Angeles Rams. We also preview the Lions' next game in the divisional round against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and so much more. Sonia is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
How powerful is Cox Fiber? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with Cox Fiber from the company with America's fastest download speeds, whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Limited availability in select areas. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023. How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Right back to Montgomery, to the end zone, touchdown Detroit. Up the middle, to the end zone, another Detroit touchdown. Third and one, and Stafford in front of Nakua, who's up and down the sideline. He's got it. Nakua inside the 10, finishes the run with a touchdown.
The quarter lined up in the backfield, and they switch it out here. Fourth and a long yard. Two for the touchdown. Goff looking to throw. Throws back to the end zone. Laporta! Touchdown Detroit! Lions bring an extra one. Anzalone's picked up. Stafford throws. It's caught. What a throw to Tutu. Out low. Bye-bye Tutu. Touchdown Rams. And this is 54. Easton Evans, the holder, had a tough year learning how to hold. That was smooth. This kick's not pretty, but it's through, and it's a one-point game. Stafford steps up, throws inside. Nakua incomplete with a ton of contact.
No call. They will throw out of the backfield. Montgomery works past point. Gets a big first down. Stays in bounds at the 31-yard line.
Left at 2nd and 9 for Jared Goff in the line. 3 and 5. Goff's going to throw, and it's caught by St. Brown for a first down. And business is done. And Detroit, for the first time in 32 years, your Lions have won a playoff game. Have at it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NFL, the National Football League, NBC Sports, and Universal. And that was the Detroit Lions making their way to the next round in the NFL playoffs, the divisional round, that is, as they will remain at home in Ford Field in downtown Detroit to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And speaking of the Detroit Lions winning a playoff game, let's welcome her back to the program. She loves her Detroit Lions, and she was very excited to see her Lions take control of the game. It was a close one, but they were able to beat the Los Angeles Rams in a thrilling victory in the NFC wildcard playoff game. Let's welcome her back to the program. She's the director of writer management and covering the NFC North for Our Turf Football. Let's welcome her back. Sonya Greenfield. Hey, Sonya, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Ed. I'm so glad to be here. I'm a superstitious kind of person. And so I think that, you know, we talked before the wild card game, they won. We're talking before the divisional round. If they win, we're on to something here.
We just may be on to something, and you brought that up right there. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And you're definitely right, Sonya. We just may be on to something. Keep our fingers crossed. And I know you, since I've had you on the program, you have been very optimistic about the Detroit Lions, and definitely everything is riding a high right now in the Motor City. Before we delve deep into the divisional game and go more into the stats and things of that nature, just give me your thoughts and just words that came to your mind just with the atmosphere, with the Lions going up against the Rams and with it being a close game and the Lions able to pull it off in a close fashion.
Changing of the guard, I think, is probably the best thing that I could give. Maybe not necessarily changing of the guard, but definitely changing of the culture, changing of the atmosphere. Lions have played in so many games like this that have been close and, you know, that they haven't been able to hold their end and have lost games like this in the past. And, you know, and not even playoff games, but playoff games, they have not done well. They've not fared well in playoff games, obviously. And so this game was very tough, but the grit, as we're going with the Lions, was there. And I think this is a signal of a culture change and that these brand new Lions are here to stay. It was electric in Ford Field. The fans were going nuts. The fans were giving Stafford the business, which was great. I think that's, you know, just what Detroit fans are all about, not in a malicious or bad way, but just in a you're the enemy and, you know, yeah, you might have played with us, but you're not with us now. And Jared Goff is with us now, and that's our guy, and we are behind him. So it was just a great atmosphere, easily the best game of the weekend. It was such a good game. I really enjoyed it and appreciated it, and even made even better, obviously, by the fact that they won.
There you go. And indeed, that's what made the weekend even better for people in Detroit. And, of course, Lions fans, is that the Lions would go on to win. And you're absolutely right. The wild card weekend, the super wild card weekend, was anything but super. However, the Rams-Lions game definitely made up for it. It was definitely, as you said, it was the highlight of the super wild card weekend. And let's get to some of the highlights of the game.
Sure.
The Lions were successful in beating the Rams 24-23. Running game, decent. David Montgomery, again, we know that the Lions are all about the passing attack. They're all about going through the air. But David Montgomery, he had 14 carries for 57 yards and a rushing touchdown. Just give me your thoughts on David's play in the win over the Rams.
Very gritty, very, you know, hard, tough. I won't say angry, but definitely a man on a mission kind of runner. He, you know, took his play and just did what he always does and just grinds out yards and was able to just kind of wear down the Rams defensive line and get through and score and just get some good high quality yardage for the team. And that was fun to watch and fun to see. And just, you know, this is why you bring a David Montgomery to the Lions, to be able to do stuff like that. So that was great.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, him and Jahmyr Gibbs, they really complete each other. I guess you could say this could be a version of a thunder and lightning, so to speak, as you said, with Montgomery was a man on a mission, and certainly he's been running like that really all of this season, and definitely carried that into the wild card playoff game. And speaking of the gentleman that I mentioned earlier, Jahmyr Gibbs, 8 carries for 25 yards and a rushing touchdown, but he also had 4 catches for 43 yards. Give me your thoughts on Jahmyr's play in the win against the Rams.
Again, I was really impressed by him bringing that extra element to the run game with the passing or pass catching was just really good. And again, just something else to kind of keep a balanced running attack and, you know, a balanced offense and giving the Rams another dimension to have to account for, giving Jared Goff another target and just, again, helping the offense go. And in a game like that, that's what you need. You need as many, you know, playmakers and pass catchers and runners as you can get. And Jahmyr Gibbs was doing all that and more. And so I was very proud of his play and just, you know, I really liked it. I really enjoyed his play.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs has been a favorite, not just among Lions fans, but definitely for a lot of football fans during his rookie season. I want to get now to the receivers. And Sam Laporta, that was the million-dollar question, Tanya. People had asked, will he play or won't he play? Well, guess what? Sam Laporta did play in this game. He only had 3 catches for 14 yards, but he had a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Sam's play in the victory over the Rams.
He had a big, big touchdown, and just seeing him out there, I mean, I hate to keep using the grit, but that's what it was. You know, he suffered that knee injury the week before against the Vikings, and he wasn't going to be stopped. And so they put a brace on him, and he went out there and just delivered a very crucial touchdown for the Lions offense, and that was, you know, a much-needed shot in the arm for him, I think, and just another feel-good emotional moment for the fans and for the team just to kind of rally around him and, you know, just watch him be a part of that playoff victory was just a very good and just I don't know, it kind of helped the crowd come alive and just, you know, keep that Detroit offense going. So he was very much so a big part of, even though it was just one touchdown, it was a big touchdown and very much so a big part of the offense.
All right, and now let's stay with the receivers for a moment. Jameson Williams, only 2 catches for 19 yards. Not really much of a factor, but his presence was felt when necessary. Give me your thoughts on Jamo's play in the game.
Kind of like you just said, you know, he had a couple catches, not that much yardage, but you always had to kind of pay attention to him and know that he is out there. So that was very good. And, I mean, a little bit disappointing, but overall his season has been a little bit disappointing, but he was able to kind of contribute a little bit to the offense, make a couple catches, and give the Rams kind of another person to kind of keep an eye on to kind of open things up a little bit more for some of the other players. But still, he was a part of the win and played a little factor in the game.
Well, you mentioned about a former Ram. Well, Stafford, former Lion. Well, a former Ram got his revenge in this game. Josh Reynolds, he came up big in this one. 5 catches for 80 yards. Give me your thoughts on Josh's play against the Rams.
I mean, you know, all eyes were on Jared Goff being, you know, former Rams quarterback, things like that. But, yeah, Josh Reynolds coming back or, you know, playing against his former team, too. And I felt that he felt like he had something to prove. And he was out there and he was like, no, it's not just Jared. You know, I played here on the Rams, too, and this is my former team, too. And so, you know, I felt he played more of like with a chip on his shoulder. But just giving that offense, again, he was very good and just really, really brought the offense to life, I think. So I really enjoyed his play. Did fantastic. Can't wait to see more.
All right, and then somebody that we've talked about for a long time, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You talk about a guy that can not only has the speed but can catch passes in traffic. He did that times 10 in this game. He had 7 catches for 110 yards. Give me your thoughts on Amon-Ra and his play in the victory against the Rams.
Sun God. And he played like we needed to play. And that's what, you know, you expect from him. That's what you want to see. And so that was very, very good. And, you know, he played so hard and so well and just brought what he usually does to this offense. And so another thing, you know, sometimes Lions players in the playoffs and in years past in big games have not really been present, but Amon-Ra St. Brown has been, and he has been such a delightful and wonderful player for the Lions. And just that, like, his game has elevated so much this year, and so to watch him do what he does was just so much wonderful and just awesome.
Yeah, St. Brown has definitely been one of a kind this year, and I think whenever his contract ends, I'm pretty sure he's definitely going to be well paid and rightfully, you know, deserving of that contract. We're going to get back into the offense in just a moment, but I want to get to the defensive side for a moment. Alex Anzalone was the leading tackler in this game. He had 6 tackles. Give me your thoughts on Alex's play against the Rams.
Alex played very, very well, and he was that defensive constant that we needed. And like I said, his game has really come up this year, and he's really improved and been more consistent and been just that defender that we know that he can be. And so watching him play on Sunday was really good, and bringing that defense to this game is obviously what was needed, because, you know, it was a close game and it was a tight game, and we needed those extra tackles that he was able to provide. So he was very much so a big piece of this defense, and that's what I love to see.
Yeah, Anzalone's been one heck of a player this season for the Lions, and he's definitely been the guy, I guess you could say, one of the anchors on the defense. He's just been a tackling machine for this defense. And speaking of being a machine, Aiden Hutchinson, my goodness, he had 2 sacks in this game. Give me your thoughts on Aiden's play against the Rams.
That dude was on fire. He had, you know, I saw a clip on Twitter, and it really made me laugh because, you know, he kind of whiffed on a tackle of Stafford. Stafford kind of gave him, you know, woofed in his face a little bit, and it looked like Aiden kind of took that personally and came and just did what Aiden Hutchinson we know and love, and what he was able to do, and just really came alive and showed his defensive prowess, and that was fantastic. Really, you know, keeping the crowd in the game, really keeping things going. And so Aiden was Aiden in that game, and that's the type of player that we love to see, we want to see, and we know, you know, he can continue to play that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Aiden Hutchinson, man, he has got a motor on him. Again, we talk about the defenders in the league like a T.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, just to name a few. But Aiden Hutchinson, man, he's definitely on his way to winning multiple Defensive Player of the Years for many years to come. And certainly he's made his presence felt in such a short amount of time in Detroit. I want to talk now about head coach Dan Campbell. So, absolutely, easily, you're right about that. And I want to talk now about head coach Dan Campbell. Coach Campbell, in such a short amount of time, changed the culture in the city of Detroit, and he's changed the culture with the Detroit Lions, and now gets his first career playoff win. Give me your thoughts on Coach Campbell and just his approach coming into this game against the Rams.
You know, he knew what was on the table, he knew what was on the line, and he knew that he had built this team to be ready for that moment. And he had all confidence in this team, and and the fans had confidence in this team, and all of that was just because of him and what he was able to do and what he was able to build and the team he was able to get around him and ready to go. And that's what he brings. And he has earned himself a statue in Detroit, whether people know it or not. But he has been that guy and has really done a good job in such a short amount of time. And to bring this team together, bring this city together, he has done so much in such a short time that Lions fans didn't even think would be possible. And so, you know, when he first got hired, we all kind of were like, okay, whatever, but, you know, we think that this is our guy. And just he sounded different. He moved different. And people bought into it, players, fans alike. Ownership loved it, and, you know, management loved it. And that's one thing that we really haven't seen out of this Lions team is everybody being on board 100% with everybody, the coach, the GM, the ownership, the players, the fans. Like, we all are on one accord, and that is such a cool thing to witness and watch. So Dan Campbell, hats off to you. He has done such a fantastic, such a short amount of time. And, you know, so proud of him. So proud of the job that he's done.
I want to stay just with Coach Campbell for a moment. A revered coach in the history of the Detroit Lions was Wayne Font. And Coach Font was beloved not just in the community and in amongst Lions fans, but really in all of amongst football fans, amongst NFL fans. I know Coach Campbell hasn't been with the organization for a long period of time. Do you think Coach Campbell could have that opportunity to be on the level, to be a cult hero in Detroit like a Wayne Font, or even surpass him?
Oh, he's already there. Like, he's there. And I think, you know, a lot of the fans now don't remember the Wayne Font years and, you know, the type of guy that Wayne Font was. And so he has already, you know, I think in my mind, surpassed Wayne Font. And Wayne Font was a great guy, great coach. But Dan Campbell has that appeal and just, you know, has that Detroit mentality and that Detroit feeling. And I think that that's what we're seeing. So I think in my mind right now, and people feel free to disagree, but I think he's already kind of passed Wayne Font in terms of cults following, I would say. And what else was I going to say? And I think social media has helped, and Lions fans have been able to connect around the world and share like that feeling. And so that probably is an advantage to Coach Campbell, but still, I think he has already surpassed Wayne Font. So that's been such a great thing to watch.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's just great to see, you know, watching how the city of Detroit and just those Lions fans, it really rallied around Campbell the moment he arrived, and you've spoken very highly of him, and even with those recent statements that you've made about him, I guess, as they say, the best is definitely yet to come for Dan Campbell as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And now, Jared Goff. So this was the game where it was all about the quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford. Jared in this game was solid, was efficient. He completed 22 out of 27 passes for 277 yards, and he had a touchdown pass. Give me your thoughts on Jared's play in this game.
Like you said, very efficient, very solid, and mistake-free. And that's what you need to have in this game, is mistake-free football, especially in a game against the Rams. And that's the game that Jared Goff played and just made things quick and easy and, you know, like I said, mistake-free and kept things moving and rolling. And he did a very good job just commanding the offense and making things happen. So it was great. He played very well.
I want to stay again just with the quarterbacks for a moment. So
uh-huh.
We talked about Matthew Stafford, and leading up to this game, this was Stafford's first game since coming back to Detroit, and there was so much hype behind the quarterbacks with Goff and Stafford. I got to ask you, what was going through your mind when you saw Stafford being on that field but not with a Lions uniform and playing for the other team?
You know, I know people are going to be a little bit mad, and that's okay. But, you know, you tip your hat to it. You respect him. But in the end, you know, Jared Goff is the quarterback. But it was a little bit weird, and I'm sure he kind of had some feelings and some memories of playing at Ford Field, and he knows how the crowd can be and how exciting it is. But I think a lot of people just wanted to squash that narrative that he was going to get a hero's welcome coming back to Detroit, and that was not the case. And I don't think Lions fans ever had that as a thing is to welcome him back with a hero's welcome. No, it was more so, you are the enemy, and we're going to make you know that. We're going to let you know that because Jared Goff's our quarterback. And so that's, I think, what I felt coming into that game. But it was a little bit weird to see him in Rams yellow and blue, I guess, if that's what they call their colors. But, yeah, so it was kind of weird seeing him in that. But, I mean, you know, he was Matthew Stafford making the throws, you know, doing what he does. And it was just kind of interesting to watch that as your opponent. But, you know, as we know, he is the opposition, but Jared Goff is the quarterback. So, yeah.
You mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you said that it was a changing of the guard. And at the end of the game, we saw Goff and Stafford exchange pleasantries, be good sportsmen in the middle of the field. And, of course, quarterbacks, not just quarterbacks, but athletes and people in general, you know, respect given, respect earned. And quarterbacks in the NFL, they say it's a fraternity. It's something that's special, and it's something that only quarterbacks can understand. And you mentioned earlier about the changing of the guard with Detroit beating the LA Rams. Do you think that this really closed the chapter on the Stafford era, and now you Lions fans can move on, and now Jared Goff is the guy, he is the quarterback?
Well, I think that the Lions fans kind of closed that chapter as soon as the trade happened. Were Lions fans kind of unsure about the Jared Goff that they were going to get and what that experience is going to look like at the time? I think so. But I think through his play as a Lion, through Goff's play as a Lion, that has since solidified everybody's feeling about him. And then to be able to see what he did to the Rams and to beat the Rams as a Detroit Lion and deliver that playoff victory, I think that has solidified, if it wasn't already, I think in most fans, I think that definitely solidified as, you know, Jared Goff is our quarterback, is a Detroit Lion quarterback, and, you know, that's our guy, that's who we're rolling with. I mean, he is forever now a part of Detroit history. You know, he won us our first playoff game in 30-some years. So, yeah, he's definitely history. He's definitely a part of Detroit, and that will never get taken away from him or for us as fans.
Absolutely. And, again, this game had a sentimental value. We saw it a few seasons ago with Tom Brady returning to Foxborough as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we saw sentiment to that in the wild card playoff game with Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, both, of course, the trade happening a few years ago, and, of course, Detroit pulling it off in a close one in the wild card playoff game. Again, final score, Detroit 24, LA Rams 23. All right, Sonya, so that took care of the wild card weekend, the super wild card weekend. Now this is the divisional round, and things are about to get really intense. The next opponent for the Lions would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and social media has already been buzzing with the trash talk from Lions defensive back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We know, I guess you could say C.J. has been the vocal leader of the team. We know he's one of the most brass talkers in all of the league. Baker Mayfield, you know, he can say things from time to time as well. Have you had an opportunity to follow up with the banter that's gone on between C.J. and then Baker Mayfield?
I haven't really paid attention to that, but I would be interested to read and see what's been going on. But, I mean, I know that the Lions players are feeling extremely confident, and, yeah, they are probably going to start talking some trash, and they're going to try and back it up. And they've got a big home field advantage, and they've got 65,000 fans that are willing to back up their trash talk. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really good watching that. And, I mean, if you think we booed Stafford, wait until Baker Mayfield takes the field. I'm sure the boos will be even louder, especially if he decides to come for any of the Lions players. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Indeed, it is going to be great. And let's get into the preview of this divisional playoff game. Let's start off with Detroit's defense. We talked about Aiden Hutchinson and his motor. We talked about Alex Anzalone being a tackling machine. We've also talked about C.J. Gardner-Johnson being the vocal leader of the team. Matthew Stafford, listen, we know about his toughness, but Baker Mayfield is no scrub neither. Now, he's a tough cookie, too, and he's been through his trials and tribulations, and he's got an opportunity to lock down a long-term deal with the Buccaneers if everything goes well, knock on wood, right? So the Lions defense, Baker Mayfield is tough. I mean, he's similar to Stafford, like a Timex watch, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. But it's not just Baker Mayfield. There's Mike Evans. There's also the tight end, Cade Otton. And there's a guy by the name of Rashad White who's been really good the last couple of years. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Lions defense to stop or to neutralize the Bucs offense?
Disrupting Baker's throws and disrupting the pass to Mike Evans is going to be probably one of the biggest things at making Baker have to get uncomfortable. And I think that's probably going to be one of the bigger things. We played them earlier in the season, and that's kind of what we did. We were able to kind of stifle the Bucs offense, and I think that, honestly, I don't see why they can't do that again. If anything, the Lions have gotten better and improved a little bit more. The Buccaneers, they have improved, but, I mean, I think they got lucky against an Eagles team that is imploding. And I think, you know, they came out of the weakest division in all of football. And so I think, you know, they are kind of playing with house money. And, you know, anything can happen. But I think that the Lions' our defense is going to be able to fully stop and kind of make this get into, not Baker's head, but just really disrupt his motion, disrupt his flow, and not let him get into a rhythm, I think is what's going to end up happening.
All right, let's move over to the other side of the ball. So the Lions' offense, Goff, St. Brown, Montgomery, Gibbs, LaPorta, and company, they're riding a high right now. The Bucs' defense, secondary, has been suspect this year. I mean, if there's any bright spots to the Bucs' defense, it would be Devin White. He's been one of the few bright spots for the Bucs' defense this year. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Lions' offense to get points against the Bucs' defense?
I think just being able to play fast, and just playing the game that they played against the Rams. Very crisp, mistake-free, getting those extra, getting those extra touches in, just really being aggressive and, you know, stepping on the gas. I think that was probably the biggest thing, and not letting the Bucs get into it at all, I think is going to be the biggest thing. And so just being accurate and playing with the foot on the gas the entire time.
Yeah, there's some pretty good guys on that Bucs defense. Now, I mentioned them earlier, Devin White, but also Antoine Winfield Jr. Also, Jamel Dean's been solid. Also, Vita Vea is a really good defensive lineman, so that should be interesting between the Detroit Lions and the Tampa. Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's going to be an interesting game in Detroit between the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as Sonya mentioned earlier, the last time that they played was back in week 6 during the regular season. That game was in Tampa where Detroit beat the Buccaneers 20-6. So it's going to be an interesting game in the divisional round at Ford Field in downtown Detroit. I got to ask you this, Sonya. So the Lions are riding a high, and the city of Detroit is really enjoying this renaissance, this revival of the Lions organization. What's the city's buzz like toward the Lions since winning their first playoff game since 93?
It's electric. It has been, you know, just people are on a high. Fans have been brought to tears. It's just been beautiful, and it's been, like, just so fun to watch because everybody has, like, you know, again, we're the first, I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but we're the first team to go 0-16. These fans, we've been with the Lions through literal thick and thin, through some of the lowest of the lows. And, you know, it's finally like, yes, it is our turn. And so fans are just really excited about it. People are like, it's weird to talk like or playoff football and with the Lions in January and not, you know, be talking about the draft or anything like that. It's just really fun. Fans are amazing and just so excited. And Ford Field was rocking on Sunday, and just watching how when the offense is on the field, like, you could almost hear a pin drop in Ford Field. I mean, really couldn't. But, you know, it was really quiet letting the offense work. But when that defense came on the field and the fans were going nuts and just, you know, really trying to disrupt the offense, made the Rams take two timeouts before they really even wanted to. And that's the kind of energy that the Lions fans have been brought, or, you know, have been bringing, and that has been brought out all because of this team winning and directly related to Dan Campbell. So it's been so much fun. It's electric. It's buzzing. And people are on a high, and it's awesome to watch.
Indeed, it is awesome to watch. And watching that game on television, there were some Detroit notables or some celebrities that were at that game. There were a couple of members of the rap group D12. Bizarre was there. And, of course, a gentleman by the name of Eminem. He's pretty popular. Right?
Yeah.
What was it like seeing Eminem and Bizarre at the Lions game?
You know, it's just really cool because, again, those two – Eminem definitely has ridden with this team, and just has been with the team through thick and thin. Bizarre has been there, and it's just nice to know that they're fans just like us, and that they are, you know, really involved and really into it too. So, and plus, it just gives us a bunch of star power. Who doesn't love Eminem, right? And so it's just, yeah, you know, Eminem is one tough cookie, just like the Lions are. And so just to watch that has been really special. And, yeah, it's been fun.
When we talk about celebrities and Detroit notables, there was a gentleman that's been on the news recently that he's been a ticket holder of Detroit Lions games for 66 years. He was at the last time the Lions won an NFL championship, which was 1957. He was at that game. Have you had an opportunity to follow that gentleman's story?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of cool to watch and just, you know, think about all the things he's seen, because he's literally seen it all. And he's seen them go from the highest of the highest to the lowest of the lows. And just, wow, it's been so amazing. And just, I'm so glad that he's been around to see this and witness this. And it's like it finally has paid off, and you just can't help but feel so great for him.
Absolutely, man. It's just great to see people like that, you know, through thick and thin, support the team. And as you said, he's seen it all, and it's great that, you know, he's been blessed to see the Lions enjoy this revival of that organization. And you heard it from Asanya Greenfield, the director of Rider Management. She covers the NFC North for Our Turf Football. Asanya, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Our Turf.
Yeah, sure. So Our Turf, we have our weekly Tuesday podcast on YouTube, Our Turf. If you go to YouTube and you look up Our Turf Football, you can like and subscribe and get notified when we go live. We interact with our viewers, so please feel free to stop by and interact with us, because we love that. And, yeah, you can find us tweeting about the NFL and reacting to some of the news that's going on and these playoffs. And, yeah, just those are the big things that are going on with Our Turf. You can follow us along at Twitter at OurTurfFB. Yeah, come on over and just interact with us. We love it.
Awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Our Turf Football, any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
For sure. You can find me on Twitter at Mom, the number 2, the number 3, RN. You can find Our Turf on Twitter at OurTurfSB. Also, you can find Our Turf on YouTube at Our Turf Football. And our website is OurTurfFootball.com. You can come and you can watch our podcast. We have our old podcast there. And we have articles up. And, yeah, so we've got a bunch of stuff going on. Those are all the great things, all the great places you can find us. Yeah, please stop on by. We'd love to see you and chat with you and interact.
Awesome. You heard it from her, Asanya Greenfield. She's the director of Rider Management, covering the NFC North for Our Turf Football. Check her out and the fine people over at Our Turf Football covering the NFL. Asanya, as always, this was great thanks again. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much again for having me, Ed. And, yeah, if they win, you know what we got to do next week, right?
Absolutely. Hey, you know the code. You know the drill. You know what time it is.
Exactly. All right.
All right.
Talk to you later, Ed.
All right. Have a good one. We'll be back with more right after this.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
And now a word from our friends at Vroom. If you're in the market for a used car but dreading the hassle, on top of wondering if you're even buying a quality ride, you need to check out Vroom. When you visit vroom.com, you can shop from thousands of cars. They've got all the popular makes and models, so it's hard to pick a favorite. All vehicles on vroom.com go through a thorough inspection and reconditioning process and come with a 90-day limited warranty. They even give you 7 days or 250 miles, whichever comes first, to make sure you love your new ride. And if you don't, you can return it. Not only can you buy a car or truck on Vroom, you can sell or trade in your old ride too. All you have to do is provide a few details and they'll give you an offer in as little as 2 minutes. They'll even come pick it up for free. Vroom is the better way to buy and sell cars. And that's exactly what their customers are saying, like Timothy, who said, "Great cars, great shopping experience and app, great service all the way through delivery." Check it out for yourself and find your next ride on Vroom.com. That's Vroom.com.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
And now, a word from our friends at Vroom. If you're in the market for a used car but dreading the hassle, on top of wondering if you're even buying a quality ride, you need to check out Vroom. When you visit vroom.com, you can shop from thousands of cars. They've got all the popular makes and models, so it's hard to pick a favorite. All vehicles on Vroom.com go through a thorough inspection and reconditioning process and come with a 90-day limited warranty. They even give you 7 days or 250 miles, whichever comes first, to make sure you love your new ride. And if you don't, you can return it. Not only can you buy a car or truck on Vroom, you can sell or trade in your old ride too. All you have to do is provide a few details and they'll give you an offer in as little as 2 minutes. They'll even come pick it up for free. Vroom is the better way to buy and sell cars. And that's exactly what their customers are saying, like Timothy, who said, "Great cars, great shopping experience and app, great service all the way through delivery." Check it out for yourself and find your next ride on Vroom.com. That's Vroom.com.
You've seen his specials on Amazon, Netflix, Showtime, and more.
Don't miss an evening with Steve Trevino.
Babe, can I go with Steve and have a drink at the casino? And then she started to speak white. She looked at him right in the face and she goes, you can do whatever you want. And his dumb goes, told ya! I go, oh, no, it's a trap, it's a trap.
Saturday, February 10th, Beau Rivage.
Tickets on sale now at BeauRivage.com.
Must be 12, accompanied by someone 21 plus at all times. Schedule subject to change. Some restrictions may apply.
And now, a word from our friends at Vroom. If you're in the market for a used car, but dreading the hassle, on top of wondering if you're even buying a quality ride, you need to check out Vroom. When you visit Vroom.com, you can shop from thousands of cars. They've got all the popular makes and models, so it's hard to pick a favorite. All vehicles on Vroom.com go through a thorough inspection and reconditioning process and come with a 90-day limited warranty. They even give you 7 days or 250 miles, whichever comes first, to make sure you love your new ride. And if you don't, you can return it. Not only can you buy a car or truck on Vroom, you can sell or trade in your old ride too. All you have to do is provide a few details and they'll give you an offer in as little as 2 minutes. They'll even come pick it up for free. Vroom is the better way to buy and sell cars. And that's exactly what their customers are saying, like Timothy, who said, great cars, great shopping experience and app, great service all the way through delivery. Check it out for yourself and find your next ride on Vroom.com. That's Vroom.com.
You've seen his specials on Amazon, Netflix, Showtime, and more.
Don't miss an evening with Steve Trevino.
Babe, can I go with Steve and have a drink at the casino? And then she started to speak white. She looked at him right in the face and she goes, you can do whatever you want. And his dumb goes, told ya! I go, oh, no, it's a trap, it's a trap.
Saturday, February 10th, Beau Rivage.
Tickets on sale now at BeauRivage.com.
Must be 12, accompanied by someone 21 plus at all times. Schedule subject to change. Some restrictions may apply.
All right, big special thank you to Sonia Greenfield, Director of Writer Management that covers the NFC North for our turf football. You know, Sonia loves her Detroit Lions, and certainly we talked about the wild card playoff game that the Lions were successful beating the Los Angeles Rams in, previewing the divisional weekend playoff matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, it's time now to preview the divisional weekend playoff matchups. Let's start off with the Houston Texans going up against the Baltimore Ravens. So this game is going to be a showcase of the quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud, what an impressive playoff debut for him in his rookie year. The Texans handled their business in more ways than one, beating the Cleveland Browns during the Super Wild Card weekend. C.J. Stroud was on fire. The defense handled their business. And they've got a tough act to follow because they're going to be heading to Baltimore to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, who a lot of people believe, and I believe as well, could win this year's league MVP, and rightfully so. When you talk about a dynamic player like Lamar, not just with throwing the ball, but also using his athletic ability as well. In Baltimore, their bread and butter has been defense for so long, and certainly, you know, that defense is going to be rocking for Baltimore coming into this game against the Houston Texans. But the Texans have a lot to play for, not just C.J. Stroud, but also rookie head coach D'Amico Ryans. Listen, you know, D'Amico was a Rough Rider when he played on the defensive side, playing for the Eagles and the Texans. And certainly, he's going to have his guys more than prepared for this game coming up in the divisional round against the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh, listen, during the bye week, the Ravens didn't rest on their laurels. Lamar was practicing. Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, those gentlemen were practicing alongside Odell Beckham Jr. Mark Andrews, the tight end, he practiced as well, but he won't be on the roster for this game. He's still on injured reserve, dealing with a very serious knee injury. But again, the Ravens have a lot of weapons. That crowd is going to be rocking in Baltimore. The temperature is expected to be in the low 20s at kickoff. But hey, Ravens fans, they're showing up. They've been showing out, and they're going to continue to show up and show out for their Baltimore Ravens. The last time the Texans and the Ravens played one another was back in week one, and the Ravens were going to beat the Texans 25-9. This was an interesting game because the Ravens, they lost their running back, J.K. Dobbins, for the rest of the season with an Achilles injury, but Justice Hill was able to fill in nicely for this contest. Lamar Jackson doing what Lamar does best, right? Zay Flowers had a good game in this contest. C.J. Stroud, in week one, when the Texans played the Ravens, unfortunately, He had only 242 yards passing and no touchdown passes, but the Ravens just had their way with the Texans in week one. Will it be the same result, or will Houston come in with, of course, they've got a chip on their shoulder already, beating down the Cleveland Browns in the wild card game, so they've got a lot to play for. And again, the NFL is all about quarterbacks, and certainly this is going to be a showcase of the quarterbacks with C.J. Stroud and Lamar Jackson, the Houston Texans going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Classic rivalry game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. For the Packers, they pulled off the upset, beating the Dallas Cowboys in the wild card playoff game. Jordan Love was sensational in his first career playoff game. The defense played well. Aaron Jones was a man on a mission. He was running out of his mind. And as far as with the 49ers are concerned, again, they had the bye week. They're the number one seed. They've got a lot at stake in this one. The pressure is on the 49ers. The pressure is on Kyle Shanahan. Brock Purdy, remember, he got hurt in the postseason last year. He got hurt in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles, and he's got a lot to prove in this one as well. You know about the 49ers-Packers rivalry. Listen, this goes back. I mean, they met off and on between the 50s and the 80s. The rivalry really didn't get started until the 90s. Brett Favre, Steve Young, and then you add Aaron Rodgers to the mix as well. Alex Smith was a part of it as well for a time or two. Also, Colin Kaepernick was a part of this rivalry too. You also think about Patrick Willis, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, just to name a few. In this 49ers-Packers rivalry, you know about Teal, right? Making the game-winning catch. They call it the catch three, or the catch, they call it the catch two, right? So, you know, T.O., Steve Young, 49ers-Packers game, that was a wild card game at the old Candlestick Park. And now, the last time these two teams met was January the 22nd of 2022. The 49ers beat the Packers 13-10. Of course, that was Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay had the number one seed. That was the 14-degree night evening game at Lambeau Field. Jimmy Garoppolo came in, and that 49er defense handled their business, shutting down Aaron Rodgers and that Packer offense. So Packers, 49ers, listen, a lot of people are saying that Green Bay, they have nothing to lose. They have a chip on their shoulder, and rightfully so. Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, they're playing with a lot right now. They're riding a high, and rightfully so. San Francisco, this is a pressure-filled year for them. Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. There's a lot riding on this season, and the 49ers have got something to prove, but so do the Packers. And certainly, listen, I mentioned the names in this rivalry, and I think the best is going to continue to get better in this rivalry between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. We have another great divisional game between the Detroit Lions going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Detroit fans were crazy at Ford Field in downtown Detroit. They beat the Los Angeles Rams in a close game. It was Matthew Stafford returning to Detroit. Jared Goff came in. Didn't wow you with the numbers, but he was consistent and he was efficient. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a man amongst boys. Let's just call it for what it is, right? The tight end, Sam Laporta, numbers-wise, didn't get the job done, but hey, he got a touchdown. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, they do what they do with the running attack. Defense played nicely in the win against the Rams. And Detroit, they're going to have their hands full up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that nobody expected them to really do anything, but they got hot at the right time, late November, going into January. Baker Mayfield has a solid chance to win this year's Comeback Player of the Year. You know about Baker, went through some tough times in Cleveland, had some flashes of success in Cleveland, but then was dealt to Carolina, was there for a hot minute. Then he had a pit stop with the L.A. Rams. And it seems that he has found a home in Tampa, playing for a lot as well, not just a playoff victory, possibly the NFC Championship game, but also, too, a long-term contract. The last time the Lions and the Buccaneers played each other was this year in Week 6 in Detroit. handled their business, taking care of the Buccaneers 20-6. But man, have things changed? Tampa Bay's a much better team. Detroit has just been a consistent team, and they get another home game at Ford Field in downtown Detroit. And if you thought that crowd was rocking for the wild card game against the Rams, this crowd is going to be rocking for the divisional game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have the Buffalo Bills going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've got Bills, Chiefs, Buffalo, no problems, no issues. They took care of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Kansas City Chiefs handled their business, taking care of the Miami Dolphins in the frigid weather at Arrowhead Stadium. And Buffalo, they had their share of frigid weather too. The game had to be postponed until that Monday afternoon. Fans showed up. They they put together snow mountains and all this other stuff. But guess what? Buffalo, one of the best sports cities, one of the best cities in the NFL, and those fans are diehard, and they're going to show up no matter what, no matter the circumstance. And a lot of fans are expected to show up for this classic game between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. So as I stated earlier, the Bills beat the Steelers in the wild card game. The Chiefs took care of business, beating the Miami Dolphins in frigid temperatures. Matter of fact, the fourth coldest game in NFL history. So Buffalo, Kansas City, it's about the quarterbacks. It's about Josh Allen. It's about Patrick Mahomes. And the NFL is a quarterbacks league, and this should add to the continuing rivalry, not just between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, but the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs. As I stated earlier, it's about quarterbacks. The NFL is a league that's driven on quarterback play. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. When we talk about quarterback rivalries, Joe Montana, Dan Marino. Joe Montana, John Elway. John Elway, Dan Marino. Jim Kelly, John Elway. Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. Also, you got quarterback rivalries as recent as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Well, we've got a new one, and it's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. These two quarterbacks are so polar opposite. You've got Josh, who is tough, will throw the ball in traffic. He'll extend the play if he needs to. He'll force a play, force a touchdown, force a first down if he has to. Allen displays toughness and the sheer will to win. You've got Patrick Mahomes, one who's a little bit more of a Harry Houdini, somebody that likes to draw up a little magic, so to speak. Rocket arm, athletic ability, a little bit faster than Allen, but he still has that improvisation, and he's like a David Copperfield on the field, or a David Blaine, or a Chris Angel. That's Patrick Mahomes. Different but dynamic. That's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. The last time these two teams met was on back in the regular season, December the 10th of 2023, when the Bills beat the Chiefs 20-17. Of course, that was the game where you saw Patrick have a temper tantrum with the referees. A lot of confusion went down, and that's what happened in their last meeting. But listen, I mentioned earlier about some of the great quarterback rivalries that we have. We got, also can't forget about Brett Favre, Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Steve Young. I mentioned Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, but we've got Josh Allen and we got Patrick Mahomes. Again, very different, but dynamic. And they both complement not only their teams well, but they also complement their cities well. Kansas City, known for the blues and the jazz, also home of the Negro Leagues, oh yeah, and the barbecue too, that's kicking. Buffalo, tough, blue collar, strong work ethic, weather beaten, no matter what, they still go out and support their beloved Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. What can you say? These two are dynamic. They're daring, and I think we're going to have a fantastic divisional playoff game between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, my game of the week. Before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win divisional weekend. The Houston Texans go up against the Baltimore Ravens. I like Baltimore to win. The Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers. Very close game, but I'm going for the 49ers to win. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go up against the Detroit Lions. I like Detroit to win. The Kansas City Chiefs go up against the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo to win. So again, my picks for divisional weekend are Baltimore, San Francisco, Detroit, Buffalo. And there you have it. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Sonya Greenfield, Director of Writer Management, that covers the NFC North for Our Turf Football. Of course, big special thank you to Sonya for appearing on the program. And also like to thank you, the listeners out there, for tuning into another exciting edition of the program. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound. You take care.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. The new year feels like a fresh start, but you've probably learned by now that New Year's resolutions are rarely life-changing. But here's a life-changing resolution you can make today and keep. Prioritizing your mental health with Talkspace. By putting your mental well-being first, good things follow. Less stress, better relationships, maybe even better health and career success. Talking to a therapist at Talkspace can give you the support you need to make the changes you want. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a therapist. And since you meet your therapist online, you won't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet whenever and wherever you feel most at ease. So go headfirst into 2024 by committing to therapy. Talkspace is here for you. And Talkspace works with most insurers. So most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off your first month when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Talkspace.com. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off of your first month when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Talkspace.com.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
Raising Cane's wants to help you get extra saucy this Mardi Gras. Stop by Cane's and pick up a doubloon for just $1. Then present the doubloon on all of your visits through March 29th for a free Cane's sauce with any purchase. Let the sauce and good times roll. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Doubloons available to purchase 1-2-24 through 2-13-24. Redemption of offer valid 1-2-24 through 3-29-24 at participating restaurants while supplies last. Limit one extra Cane's sauce with purchase per day.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off of your first month when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Talkspace.com.